Well, good morning, Dr. Spokas and members of the societies and guests. My name is Bruce Warden. I'm an environmental scientist with the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board in South Lake Tahoe. I'm going to talk this morning about indicator bacteria and beneficial uses in the Eastern Sierras. Oops. Is the arrow the correct one?
Down here.
Down here, okay. We'll cover the study setting since most people probably aren't familiar with the Eastern Sierras. Pathogens related to indicator bacteria, water quality objectives, beneficial uses. The database we use, which is a public database called CEDIN, and bacterial source and intensity trends and preliminary conclusions based on the analysis of the data. Water quality objectives in our region, our water board has the authority from US EPA to set their own water quality standards. And in our region, it is set at a geomean of 20 coliform per 100 mil. US EPA is 200. E. coli, we are now developing a standard, and is pretty much parallel to the study we did with fecal coliform. EPA geomean is 126. This is the region, the Lahontan region, and highlighted there a couple of major features. There's two outstanding national water resource bodies that elicit more federal protection for non-degradation, and that's the Lake Tahoe and Mono Lake. Mono Lake, though, is a saline lake about three times saltier than the ocean, but it has a very special and unique ecological system there. Also, Death Valley is in the southern part of our region. It actually has some very clean waters in it, believe it or not, that pop out of springs, such as Amargosa River, but is not part of the study since I'm focusing on Eastern Sierras. Here's a shot of Lake Tahoe, give you an idea of the setting. This is Mono Lake. Typically, our region has natural high-quality waters. It's what we call a vertical region. There's very high peaks. Mount Whitney is over 14,000 feet, the highest elevation in the continental U.S. is in our region near Lone Pine. Quite often, there's consumption of untreated or partially treated surface waters, backpackers, hikers, etc. Millions of visitors every year for various recreational sources. So recreation is high on our list, and the regional board in 1975 in the first basin plan set a water quality objective of 20 as a result for 10 different watersheds, and then expanded that to all of the region in 1995. Primarily we have water contact recreation, swimming, we've got fishing, boating, in the lower elevations particularly, and also in some of the higher elevations, U.S. Forest Service has allotments for livestock and drinking water, either partially treated or untreated water in particularly the mountainous areas. Typical pathogens, these are the likely suspects that we always round up there. In this environment, we have protozoan, bacteria, and some enterovirus issues that pop up in the literature. Giardia, Cryptosporidium, Shigella toxin, and enterohemorrhagic strains of E. coli have been detected, Salmonella, Campylobacter, Enterococcus, so on. The methods we used for analysis are standard methods for water and wastewater treatment, 9222D and E. coli by 9222G. They're both membrane filtration methods. This shows the hydrologic units in the CEDIN database, which is California and my Environmental Data Exchange Network. We load our data in there. We have probably twice as much data we haven't been able to load yet. It's historical data. Also, our data ends in 2013 because it takes typically about a year to get everything in there. We have actually 11 hydrologic units. These are along here in our region, basically the crest of the Sierras, everything that drains east, that's what we have. We didn't assess this is where Death Valley is and then some mountainous regions of Southern California, San Bernardino Mountains down here. We have that data, but it was not included in this study. Typically, you'll see a seasonal trend. Summer months, much higher bacteria, either in reference sites, background sites, or in sites that have some anthropogenic influence. Pretty much in winter, things slow down next to nothing. Biological, wildlife, and human activity. As they say, everything goes real slow when it's 40 below, and that's kind of what happens with bacteria as well. We took a look at overall trends in elevation. There has been some literature suggesting that higher elevations down to 1,500 meters in the northern Sierras and 2,000 meters in the southern Sierras have exclusion of livestock in the higher country, particularly the Forest Service lands. But it doesn't really come out to a nice clean relationship because there's a lot of high valleys. Bridgeport, for example, is privately owned, as some of these peaks in here. A lot of high elevation pasture land, so to speak, or in some cases this would be Forest Service activity here, various allotments. And then this is the valley here where you tend to have a lot more anthropogenic influence, either urban or livestock. So no general trend there, but if you look at water body, you do see some relationships. I'm going to show you some data. This is the Upper Truckee River. It starts up here in the upper part of the watershed in the Lake Tahoe hydrologic unit. Down in the valley here, there's actually urban influence from residential. Then it goes through some natural areas, and then here's the city of South Lake Tahoe down here. So you can kind of see some influence going on there. You look at the data in general, this would be elevation on this axis, and over here I had to flip this one because of the nature of what I wanted to start out low and go high. You see at lower elevations a larger scattering. 20 is along here, our standard. Pretty much everything in the higher elevations is in compliance with our standard, and a few are off in some of the urbanized areas. And this is our bacteria data now. As I mentioned, the CETA database, there's the website for it. If anybody wants to get on there, you can query and look up all this data. We have data from 2000 to 2013. We also have historical data going all the way back to 1989 for some sites. There's over 3,500 fecal coliform samples, over 1,500 geomean calculated from that, 132 monitoring sites, and 13 different hydrologic units overall in that database. Geomeans, this is something that EPA has going back to their 1987 water quality criteria. It's also the same as log normalized data, and actually in fecal coliform they call it log normalized. For E. coli they call it geomeans. They're exactly the same thing. You come to exactly the same number. It's just a lot easier to calculate a geomean because there's a function in Excel for it if you download the stat pack. So what it does is it basically smooths out the highs and lows, and since in the environment bacteria are log normally distributed, this gives a much more accurate number of what's happening in the system. Typically we'll take up to about five or more samples per month to give a good statistic. In addition to looking at just elevational aspects, we also decided to look at source aspects. In other words, what's the intensity of the source related to what sort of numbers we're finding? We looked at several different, three different kinds of sites, reference or background, which are typically higher elevation, although at some locations it's lower elevation where you have a spring popping out of a hillside or something like that. Typically, it's upstream of human and livestock influence. Moderate anthropogenic influences would be like lighter recreational use activities such as hiking, camping, backpacking, fishing, etc. And then higher anthropogenic influences are urban and grazing. This gives you a little context. This would be a reference site up here in Heart Lake. Here's some water activities. This would be kind of light recreational and moderate use. Same thing here, fly fishing in Mammoth Creek. This was getting on kind of the border between moderate use and high use, but probably is dispersed enough to still be just moderate. High country backpacking, a lot of pack activity, a lot of that sort of thing going on. And then down in Bridgeport, Robinson Creek here, very intensive grazing. This valley has something around 10,000 cows in it during summer months. And actually, when I drove down yesterday, there were still a few cows on the fields up there this late, so I was kind of surprised. And then you have urban impact. So land use intensity relative to water quality, when we analyzed all the data, put it in different categories, we found that pretty much reference sites to moderate sites had a very low exceedance of the water quality objective, either 0 or 2%, moderate to high, 16%, 44%. What this essentially means is we have very different kinds of water related to the use in the area. Here's another example, Carson Watershed, just to show you another elevational aspect. And this is typically, if you look at the uses along here, this is up here, this is the headwaters and Hope Valley in this area. You got fishermen, a lot of good activity here. There's cabins in here, maybe a small resort on down in here. But you don't really see any impairment get down in this zone where there's cattle in the Carson Valley. And we see this typically. And what this data kind of shows is that we probably have to approach this data on a watershed-by-watershed basis rather than making overall trends, though, in terms of elevation. Here's a general relationship from little or no source up to high, and you can see pretty much this is the mean of monthly means. You take all those geomeans and average them across different uses. You can see pretty much things accelerate quite a bit when you get into the urban and heavy livestock use areas, but things are mostly okay down in this zone where you have little or moderate influence. The hypothesis, of course, based on this is that wildlife recreation anthropogenic sources are important, and all these other factors do enter in, but probably we should face things on a watershed-by-watershed basis and look at the intensity and set up standards along those lines. Pretty much about half of our samples and sites had water quality objectives below 20, which is quite a remarkable standard, but it stands up in our region. The other half is above 20. We will establish a standard consistent with agricultural uses and other urban uses in those areas. Okay, and that's that.